What we just heard here today is truly the reality that we're finding within our world. The struggles that we started with here today are the struggles that we find happening throughout our world, throughout Christendom. We see that our land truly has become those dry bones as we look at the economy, as we look at business and how things are failing and falling apart. We have to realize that as a major producer in the world, we are not anymore. We need to understand that the American economy, which is generally the motor that drives the entire world market, has pretty much dried up. When you look at the fact that there's 1% growth rate and the government says, oh, we're coming out of the recession, I'd like to know where they're buying their Kool-Aid. Because these bones are so dry, they're willing to lie to each other and deceive each other and hope that the rest of us buy it so that we start spending money that we don't have. We've already done that. Most people don't realize, but the average American today carries a credit card, just your credit card balance, of $14,000. That's the average American household credit card balance. Now, if there's two adults, that's two credit cards. Now, that may sound strange. That may sound like, well, we don't do that. Well, for some of you, you're the exception to the rule. So if your credit card balance is zero, like mine is, or say it's $2,000, what does that mean somebody else's is? This is a reality, and this is some of what Betsy was singing about today. These bones are so dry, we think there is no hope. But we need to remember that Jesus Christ is our hope. And as a nation, if we come back, just as Israel had to come back to the Lord, if we come back, God will bring us out of this exile. Now, is He going to do it as a nation? I don't know, but I know He will do it individually as each of us give our lives to Him. And as we take that message out, as Betsy said, the prophet had to speak into these things. God said, move, and the prophet moved, and something happened. Who is the prophets? Who are the prophets of this day and age? It's us. The Church of Jesus Christ, we have that message of hope. We have that message of salvation. And today, as we begin looking at the sphere of business and economy, we need to understand that we need to go into prayer in a very real and major way for all of the businesses that are out there, for the economy of our nation, because it affects the world. And we need to ask God to revive us again. In 1850, we saw the American economy pick up. Does anybody have any idea why? What happened in 1850? In 1850, the Great Revival started because the American economy had become so bankrupt at that time, it was corrupt. People had come into office who were corrupt, and the big railroads and all these things were happening, and they were just abusing the country. And all of a sudden, a revival started, a revival from the church. Pastors began preaching the message of God for the first time as hard as they could. They got out there and they spoke because God told them to speak truth. Don't hold it back. Speak truth into people's lives. People don't like truth, but what sets us free? Truth sets us free. So we need to speak into these spheres, each one of these spheres. We need to speak that truth. Here's the truth that I want us to speak from Isaiah in the 60th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Now, I'm going to be reading it from my text rather than out of my NASB, so please follow along, okay? From the first verse of the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. You, the riches of the nations, to you, the riches of the nations will come. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Now, I'm not here to talk a prosperity gospel, all right? But I am here to speak prophetically about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which this message is a part. Because the reality is, as we in Christ Jesus give ourselves to Christ, God blesses us. God blessed our nation in the 1850s when the revival started, and we had an insurgence of Christian businessmen going into the business market and creating the prosperity that came into the 1930s. What happened in the 1930s? We did not learn our lesson well, because that generation had passed and it was passed on to their sons and their daughters, and because they weren't trained up in the way that they should go, they began to squander it, and we had the Great Depression, the worst known period of time in the history of the United States as far as economically concerned. But then what happened? A war broke out, and the Jews began to be persecuted and Christians in Europe, as Hitler marched across the land. A scourge, a plague began to come, and they were drawing the people into exile. And then Japan entered in and attacked the United States, just as we began to throw our hat into the ring. And all of a sudden, we were in the midst of World War II. Now, I want you to think about what happened at the end of World War II. This nation got back to God. There were people praying in the streets. There were preachers out there preaching on the street corners. There were women in the factories. There was business to be done. And men rose up, women rose up, and they called upon the name of the Lord. And God came and blessed this land once again, because we found our spiritual roots. We found our heritage. We found the reason that we were founded as a people, and that was to walk as the kingdom of Christ here on earth, now living. And God brought us back from the depths of despair. He made those dry bones rise up again, and He breathed life back into them. Do you think He won't do it again? Yes, He will. And we need to think about what's going on in business right now. How many Christian businesses are there out there that are finding themselves being sued because they won't make a cake for somebody whose beliefs or sexual orientation is outside of not their realm, but God's? And since they are Christians, it would be immoral for them to create it. And we're being told by the government that if you don't, you're going to be taken to court. Well, I hate to tell you this, but the courts are deciding on behalf of the Christians. However, it is ruining those Christians' lives to get those court cases through. Hundreds of thousands unto millions of dollars are being spent. But we, the church, need to be in prayer. We may not be able to financially help them, but we need to spiritually help them. We need to be Ezekiel speaking to the dry bones around us, bringing them back to life, giving them the hope of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to allow the light of Christ to dawn on this land again, to bring hope, to bring glory, and to bring peace. As God has blessed this nation, one of the things that we read here, it said that your sons and daughters, they'll flock from afar. I want you to think about this. Why was the Statue of Liberty given to the United States of America? Does anybody know what it says at the base of the Statue of Liberty? It says, "I'm the ruler," right? It says, "I'm going to hold judgment over the world," right? No. The Statue of Liberty stands there with a torch in her hand, is the beacon of hope, is the light of salvation and freedom and liberty. that anyone who would come, and she says not, give me your rich, give me your businessmen. She says, give me your poor, give me your homeless. Because God knows these are the people who have been oppressed and need to be set free. And we need to understand that right now there's a whole lot of people in our nation who have been lied to and who are oppressed. They are in the government system and they're getting money every week from the government, not realizing that they are slaves to snakes. And we see the turmoil that happens when we turn on the news and we see the shootings in Harrisburg and in Lebanon and in Lancaster and in York and in all the cities around us. We used to be able to say, well, you know, those things don't happen to us. You know, we live far enough away from those big cities. Well, guess what? It's happening in places such as Richland. It's happening in places such as Avon. It's happening all over the place, and it cannot be avoided anymore because evil knows no bounds. And when it looks at our world and our businessmen, one of the things that just makes me sick is they have turned away from God who gave us the blessing to create business. We were one of the major manufacturers in the world. Today we are a service-oriented society. More people work for Walmart or such stores than any other employers in our nation. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's not. But we're not producing any of the stuff Walmart sells. It's coming from overseas. Turn your garment inside out and look where it says it's from. If 2% of you here have an American-made garment, it's a miracle. They're made in India, Pakistan, China, Hong Kong, Indonesia. And those people work for pennies, and you pay dollars for that product. A pair of sneakers that you pay $85 for are made in a sweatshop in China for 35 cents labor cost. Do you really think they're paying the rest of that money for the material that made your sneakers? We need to ask God to raise up Christian businessmen in our world. We need to ask God to get involved in our communities, that He would see to it that those people who are Christian are not persecuted, but that the word of Jesus Christ would go out. We live in an age where we have a Muslim government. You may not believe me when I say that. Please start doing some research. Almost every head of every department of the government today is a Muslim. And if you think I'm lying, check me out. Read Quran sometime and tell me they're a sister religion. They say that they are to lie to the infidels, that they are to pretend to like them, all the while deceiving them until the time is right that they may overtake them. Well, folks, they're coming in and they're taking over the businesses that we all look at and we say, well, that's okay. They're just taking a turkey hill over here and they're just taking it and they're just taking it and they're just taking it. Folks, we don't have any business except service business anymore. If they start taking over the service businesses, who do you think they're going to stop serving? It's a sad reality. Now, there's a lot of people who right now that are going to hear this on the internet, and they're going to say, well, that guy's a bigot. Yes, I am. Because God tells me to be. God says there is one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you don't understand it, let me tell it to you again. There's only one way to heaven. And you and I need to speak that into our world, into our business people's lives. We need to be willing and wanting to support those businesses that are out there. The other day, Miss Sally and I were talking, and I wasn't thinking about supporting a Christian business, and I needed to go get these flowers that represent the 25 people through Nicaragua down at the Rama village down there who came to Christ. And she said to me, well, where are you going to go get them? Well, I was thinking about going to Wally World. You know, where else do we go? Wally World. And she says, well, you might want to try Hobby Lobby. She said, you may pay a little bit more for them, but they're Christians. And it was like, yeah. Why wouldn't I pay a little bit more if it's going to support a Christian organization who is struggling as it is because of the things that they had to petition our government so that they wouldn't have to do? Let's help them pay their bills a little bit and move them a little bit forward, and maybe they'll hire some more Christian people who are going to come in and begin to work. You know, I'm amazed when we look at our government and they say, well, you know, last year we created 500,000 jobs. That's wonderful. When Ronald Reagan was president, he created 1.6 million jobs in the worst year of his time as president. 500,000, we're going to all stand around and go, woohoo! With 300 million people in the nation. Are we nuts? We've bought the lies. We need to stop buying from non-Christian business, and we need to start supporting Christian business, asking God to raise up men and women, asking God to check our hearts. Okay, there's a young gentleman back here who's trying to start a business, who's trying to get things going for himself. And I am praying for him on a constant basis that he would get so many clients coming to him that he would literally have to hire somebody, buy a truck, get lawnmowers, all the stuff he needs, rather than using the other people's stuff, that God would bless him overflowing, that he would become an employer rather than a single employee working for himself. How many of us are praying like that? How many of us are on our knees before God asking him to move in the lives of business right now in our world? How many of us are praying for our economy? How many of us are looking at just where is the growth? You know, there was a point in time when the stock market was going crazy, okay? I can remember when this was back in the 80s and 90s, when the stock market was going up and up and up and up and up. And, you know, I just kept thinking to myself, how high can it go? How high can it go? Well, folks, the Dow is now up to, what, 18,000? It's right under 18,000. It keeps bouncing back and forth. They said it would never get above 10,000. How many of you remember that? Well, the Dow, it'll never get above 10,000. Well, it's almost doubled. How's that working for you? You making any money on it? No. Because the only people who are making money on it are the people who already have money. Those of us who work for a living, does your paycheck go up like that? Do you ever wonder how it happens? How do those numbers get to where they are? Did you ever stop to think that maybe we're being manipulated a little bit? That maybe there's some people back there behind the scenes, you know, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, pulling the levers and the wheels, and don't pay attention to that guy back there. He's just a janitor. The whole while, that's the puppet master. And what we see is an illusion. Folks, right now, our economy, okay, I'm talking worldwide, has $545 trillion of unsecured debt. Do you realize what that is? $554 trillion of unsecured debt. In other words, if we took all the printed money in the world and put it on that debt, it would only pay one-third of it. All the printed money in the world. all it's going to take for our economy to collapse and this one world order to come in is one mega stroke. And we are headed for a heart attack like you have never seen. Because when it happens, we will be set for the one world money order to come in, for the one world government to come in. Where do you think things have been heading in our societies today? We need to be praying against that very reality, that God would begin to bless our economy, that we as Christians would begin to live within our means, paying off our debt, getting ourselves out of debt. Stop buying the stuff that you don't need. If you're paying $300 for a cell phone, you need to get rid of the stupid cell phone. I know people who are paying between their cell phone and their cable and you know all the extra junk, they're putting out $500 and $700 a month. When I learn these things, I think that's a mortgage payment. And you're carrying it around in your hand and it's on your laptop and your iPads and it's all vapor. And it means nothing. Oh, but I got to have it because that's how I connect with all my friends. Well, how many friends do you have? Well, 500. Really? How many people have you been in their room, their house, in their living room, sat with them and had a meal? Well, none of them. Then they ain't your friends. They aren't even acquaintances because you don't know if they're real. They may be a real person, but they not be real in what they're saying and doing. And that's the illusion that is created that continues to power the economy that is going in the direction that it's going. When you turn on the TV, I praise God for Whitey. He turned off his TV, what did you say, 16 years ago, something like that? I forget what you told me. At least that long. Turned it off. Hasn't turned it on. I praise God for people like him because he has separated himself. And he told me just the other day, we were out here talking, he told me just the other day, and he's told us several of us this before, he hates to watch TV. When it comes on, he said he can see the propaganda. You and I, we watch TV all the time. We turn on and we don't think anything of it. Excuse me, when I was a kid, I can remember watching shows like Lucille Ball. I love Lucy. Leave It to Beaver, The Honeymooners, you know, a couple of these shows. And you would get 15 minutes of programming, 2 minutes of commercials. 15 minutes of programming, 2 minutes of commercials. 15 minutes of programming, 2 minutes of commercials. Well, now we have 15 minutes of commercials, 2 minutes of programming. 15 minutes of commercials, 2 minutes of programming. And, you know, am I right? If they took a one-hour show and literally gave it all in time, in one blob, if it's more than 38 minutes, I'll eat my hat. Because the rest of it is all aimed and geared at getting us to spend money, money that we don't have. Oh, it's okay, and this is one of the things I hate, and I'm going to speak about it even here, even now. One of the things I hate is when you're watching some of these people on TV, and I love some of these preachers, they're wonderful. I love their message, but I don't like their method because they will say to you, oh, don't worry about it, just put it on your credit card. Just send us this money. We're gonna drill wells in India and just put it on your plastic, put it on your credit card. Does that sound like something a Christian should be speaking about? As you are best blessed, be a blessing. You don't spend what you don't have because God hasn't given it to you yet because he knows you can't handle it until he gives it to you. Now, for a lot of us, that means we need to back it down a little bit. And that's okay because I want you to look at this scripture. Go to Timothy. Go to Timothy 6. Go to Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy. I'm going to begin in verse 3, chapter 6, 1 Timothy, verse 3, and I'm going to read through 10. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plague men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Blessed be the word of our Lord. You and I need to pray that God would start to move in the life of the church, in the life of our communities, that we would begin to live within our means. The quickest way to heal an economy is for people not to spend credit money, but to spend and live upon what they have in such a manner that they are being sanctified by Christ. That there is a way that is good, and we understand it, that God is our provider, and He will give us the things that we need. We want the things that we want. We need to get over that. We need to remember that when we begin to love money more than God, we're going to fall into all kinds of despair and all kinds of troubles. I look at what happened in the housing market when the housing market collapsed. And all those people who were given loans simply because you could fill out a paper lost everything they had. Do you think those people didn't have dreams and hopes? They most certainly did. But they were lied to. And when it came time to pay those bills, because when it started they could afford it, but the interest rates, because it's a variable interest rate, started going up and up and up. And of course, if we got the house, we got to have the car that goes with it. And if we have the car, we got to have the cell phones. And if we have the cell phones, we have to have the internet. If we have the internet, we've got to have the computers. If we have, you know, it's a never-ending cycle. Because when you don't love God first, you're walking right into Satan's life. You're inviting him right into your living room, as Brother Bobby puts it. He doesn't belong there. We need to pray. We need to pray specifically. And these are the things I'm going to ask you. We need to ask God to raise up godly businessmen and women. We need to ask God to pray. We need to pray for God to release funds from these businesses in our area throughout the world to make possible the advancement of Christ's kingdom and the completion of the Great Command. Remember, Great Commission, remember, it takes Christian businessmen and women to help the gospel go forward. It takes people like you and I who are willing to put funds into the treasury that it can be used to go out and touch the lives of people in Nicaragua. I mean, I cannot express any more today than what I've expressed. 25 people coming to know the Lord. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. And because people gave and people went, and the word was spoken, just like we heard, and the dry bones became flesh. We need to pray. We need to pray for a healthy recovery in all sectors of the economy, and that a spiritual awakening will take place that helps overcome greed. We need to pray that God will get the attention of Christians to depend on Him and to reject the ways of this world, and that a true revival would begin. And true revival has to begin where, people? Has to begin here. Let's pray that God would move. We know He who is the hope. We know He who is our provider, our protector, our sustainer, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's live like we know it. Let's live like we've received it. Let's live because He has received us. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, I pray that You would help us to live as Christ in this world, that You would bring back Christ to every aspect of our lives. And I pray, God, that You would raise up businessmen and women in our world, in our community, who would be willing and wanting to go forth with the gospel. Not that they would be putting money in their own pockets, but that they would hire men and women to help them. Because, Lord, that's true capitalism. True capitalism is a desire to want to see the best, to grow in the best of ways, to help others to prosper. And in that prosperity, Lord, that You provide, to glorify You, that You may pour out upon them even more. And Father, I pray that we would begin to support Christian businesses and move to places that are truly raising up the cause of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would move in our economy and help us to see as people that we need to live debt-free, that we need to live within our means and to hold You in esteem, that when there's a need, You'll meet it. And when there's a want, we hold it. Because, Lord, You do give us the desires of our heart, but we need to wait, for instant gratification is not the way of Christ. Father, we pray that You would bless each man, woman, and child here this day, that as we raise up this banner of hope in our world for the business and for the economy of our world, that You would strengthen the business, strengthen the economy, grow the people of Christ. For Lord, we're praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.